Well, this is pretty amazing. The first ever hammerhead shark to be tagged by the Atlantic Shark Institute in Rhode Island waters near Block Island. That happened recently. And that's a stunner. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an incredible feat. Then we have John Dodd, the executive director of the Atlantic Shark Institute, on the phone. We're talking to him last week, and he says, if you guys want to name it, you can name it.
Like, cool.
I thought, wow.
Yeah.
How could someone so smart do something so dumb?
Just show us he has a soft side for dumb animals.
What an incredible honor. Is this him saying that last week?
And if you guys want, I'll let him name it. We don't have a name for her yet.
What?
So,
ooh.
Yep, there's no name. So if you guys like, you can name, talk to your listeners, let me know, and we can put a name on her. And from that point forward,
that's
what we referred to it.
Oh, that's a nice. What an honor.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Name it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What a beautiful thing. What a gift.
It's cool.
What a gift. And thank you for that. John Dodd is back on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Man. Did you hear what we came up with?
I didn't. I listened to Ruth sent me the whole segment. It was hysterical listening to all the different names and some of the characters that called in. And you were kind to everybody, by the way. I have to say, some of those names were not good.
And you were, thanks for noticing.
You were still kind. You kept saying, "Okay, we'll write that." I have, you know, I took that as a note. You said, "We'll write that down."
Right. Yeah. It wrote
a really nice way of saying that's a bad idea. Yeah, but anyway,
right. No bad ideas.
It came down to two. One was Savannah the Hammer.
Right.
The clear winner, and it came to us very early. I think we started doing it around 7:30, and by 7:35, this was called in.
Yeah.
I knew we could stop right now.
Yeah.
But we're like, let's just hear it all out,
right,
and then we'll put it to a vote. The winner is Emma C. Hammer.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right.
Isn't that a great name?
And you can't touch this, yeah.
Well,
that's a great name.
Well,
that's going to be a handful. You know, we've done a ton of media on this shark, and now going forward, so is this three? This is Emma, and then a space, and then C, and then Hammer.
Emma C. Hammer, yeah.
Right, you get reference, right?
Right.
That's awesome. That's tremendous.
Do you get great. Do you get the reference?
Absolutely. We're going to have to get him on sometime.
Nice. Exactly.
See,
he'd be honored. What we're working on getting him on to to tell him that there's a shark named after you.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, and never met him or anything, but he seems like a character, and it seems like something that would be up his alley. He's had some fun with commercials and things lately, so hopefully you guys can get him on. That would be really fun. But this is a great name. This is a great, you know, we've named sharks before, and we name them because it's easier to refer to them. And, you know, it's Janet, it's Bob, it's Mary. This is really good.
Yeah,
really,
really good.
Well, we pictured you guys referring to her as M or Emma.
Right.
And then, you know, the full name is, of course, Emma C. Hammer.
Right.
But when she appears on your radar, you could call out, it's Hammer Time.
Right. Hammer Time, stop. Do, right.
Yeah.
Little Texas can't touch us.
I'm writing that down, too.
Right. It's Hammer Time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Needs a little vest and some balloon pants.
So is that how it works? So the shark is tagged, and sometimes you don't see where she is, and then sometimes she'll appear.
Yeah, that's a great question. So real quick for your listeners. So there is a lot of different tagging technology we use on sharks depending upon the answers we're trying to get. So in this case, we put an acoustic tag on Emma. And what that does is once a minute, it sends out a ping in through the water for 10 years. And that ping is picked up by acoustic receivers up and down the East Coast. So there's thousands of them. And they go from Canada all the way down into the Gulf of Mexico. So the really cool thing is that if she's with 700-800 yards of one of these receivers, that's going to get registered. So it's really great in the sense that we're going to be able to really track Emma's, you know, migrations north and south for a long time using this technology. Here's the other side of that, however. It's not real time because it goes into a receiver that's out on a buoy in the middle of the ocean. Until the owner of that receiver goes out and pulls data from that receiver, we don't know where Emma has gone.
Right.
But the good news is that if she's around for a long time, we're going to get this data forever, for a decade. So we do have to wait for these researchers to upload their data to the database, but that's okay because the value is in the tag and that data will never go away. So I think what you're referring to, it's a spot tag or a satellite tag, where every time the shark breaks the surface, it goes up to a satellite and it will instantly say, here I am. The problem with those is, for this application anyway, it only lasts about a year. And that's the end of the tag. So you get a lot of location data for a year, and then you don't get it anymore. This is 10 years, so we're going to get it for a lot longer. It just won't be instantaneous, but we can report on it to you guys periodically, and we'll have some fun and send you a chart and show you where she's going.
What if she gets caught? Ends up on a dinner plate somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's a good question, and it drives us crazy. Because we spend time finding these sharks, tagging these sharks, and we have people call us and say, hey, we have a tag of yours, you know? Oh, you have a tag. Did you find it? Yeah, we found it in your shark,
right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It was delicious, yeah.
We're back at the dock.
Right.
Or we're commercial guys, and it was on a long line, and it stayed too long. So, unfortunately, and then we have to take them off the list. We've had sharks that have literally been caught within 24 hours. We've had sharks that last the 10 years. Depends on the species. There's a lot of sharks that are prohibited out there that you cannot touch. But of course, you know, when you have a hook and you have a bait in the water, the sharks don't know that. So suddenly, you know, they get caught or they get dragged up or something. So, but yeah, that's a good question. We'll be monitoring her, and we usually get early data that says, okay, she's on the move and she's up and down the coast. And for some reason, the ones that seem to expire go quickly. For some reason, they're unlucky. So we usually get, you know, 6 months and that's the end of it, or we get 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. So hopefully she'll be the latter.
See the 14-foot washed up on the beach over in South Carolina? Hammerhead?
I did. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, hammerheads are really sensitive. So there are certain shark species that you can manhandle and for lack of a better term, and really, you know, they're pretty hardy. Hammerheads are not one of those sharks. There's been a lot of studies where, you know, somebody on the shore fights one for an hour and a half, gets it up, takes a picture, lets it go, and a day later it washes up 3 miles up the beach. So the hammerhead happens to be one of those sharks that are really difficult, that they don't take a lot of abuse. So in this case, when we tagged Emma, what we do is we keep the boat in gear, and that way the water continues to flow over her gills. She gets a lot of oxygen. So when we cut that hook out, you know, we bolt cut it. She just, and we always do this to make sure, and she just swims along. So we move quickly. We take great care. We keep the boat moving. We bolt cut that hook, and we watch them swim away. So our incidence of mortality is honestly close to zero because of the, you know, we've caught over 1,000, so we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You said that tag emits like radio whatever. Can dolphins or other sea creatures pick that up?
They cannot. Nope. No, they cannot. No, it's a silent. Yeah, no, it's a silent. It's basically, it goes on a frequency and they don't pick it up. And but it's good to about 800 yards. So we want this. We want Emma to be able to swim by these buoys. It's funny. Sometimes we'll get, you know, a shark that we'll get for 3 days, you know, in the vicinity of a buoy because they're working some bait. The bait tend to like our buoys because they're chained to the bottom and they create a little ecosystem, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then fish smaller and bigger and bigger and bigger. So some of these sharks will hang around in certain areas, and some of them just seem to be on the move all the time. She was around Block Island, and we have a bunch of acoustic receivers around Block Island. So if she sticks around there, we'll get a lot of detections from her. And even if she goes north into the Cape area, you know, we've got a good friend of mine up there has over 100 acoustic receivers. I think there's over 200 in Massachusetts alone. Another friend is in New York with over 100. So we'll be able to find and keep an eye on Emma as she moves around this region and hopefully south when the waters get a little cooler.
John Dodd, Executive Director, Atlantic Shark Institute, on the phone. We're talking about the shark that they just recently tagged, the hammerhead.
Yes.
And, you know, we were talking to you last week, and then, you know, we were talking on and off the air about sharks. They're just fascinated with it.
They are.
And a tribe member sent me an email saying that sharks are older than trees.
Yeah, 450 million years. Yeah, they've been around a long, long time. And you know, that's
wild.
What makes them so, it is wild, isn't it? I mean, that's what makes them so special, which is why you can look at some of these sharks. Our the logo here at the Atlantic Shark Institute is the Mako. And honestly, if you look at that shark, it's like an F1 car. It's so gorgeous.
It's sleek,
and
it's aerodynamic, or aerodynamic.
Yeah, hydrodynamic. It's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. If you really study it, it's pointy. It's got this fin structure that is unique, and they're the fastest shark in the ocean. They can do up to 45 miles an hour in the water. They can chase down anything.
Can they detect a drop of blood from hundreds of feet away?
No, that's an exaggeration. That's a good question. The first thing that they really do is they hear. So when we're doing research, we have some devices that we'll use because they'll pick up on struggling fish, you know, their lateral line, but they hear before they smell. So for us, there are things we want to do in the water that get them interested in coming by to say, hey, what's that? And we have different things that we'll use to attract them and maybe mimic a struggling fish or things. So there's things that we've done to try to increase the odds that we'll run into one of these sharks. But no, that's an exaggeration, but their smell is phenomenal. But, you know, hey, one drop of blood in a mile, et cetera.
Right.
Now, it diffuses too quickly in the ocean, but they still sense it. It's just trying to get a direction from it is more difficult when it's, you know, when something happens a half hour before they come through. They'll still sense it, but they may not get the direction. We want to draw them to the boat, so there's chum and things that we want to be continuous in the water column, so it's just not one spot where they say, okay, what's going on? We want them to know, hey, we want you to come this way.
Do some sharks glow in the dark?
They do. Yeah, some of them do, and their eyes.
Neon shark.
The deep water sharks. Yeah, the deep water sharks are really special. We don't see them because they're so darn deep.
Right.
But we have a project with a PhD candidate at the University of Rhode Island, and we have baited remote devices that will drop, and they're pressurized to the point where we can drop those. She can drop those to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 feet deep.
Wow.
And it is pitch black down there. So we actually have cameras and a whole bunch of things. But, oh, no, there's some wild creatures that have little glowing, you know, little something will come off.
Yeah, the anglerfish.
Looks like they're from outer space.
The anglerfish is beautiful, isn't it?
It's ugly. Oh, my God. It's nasty looking. I'm like, thank God you're way down there. You don't look tasty at all.
Can you imagine if they were walking around the Earth?
Yeah. If I was tripping, maybe.
Oh, no. Just an ice cream on the end of that or a steak or something. We'd all be dead.
A Twinkie.
John, thank you so much for the honor. Thank you for coming on, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Yeah, this has been a pleasure, guys. We'll be in touch. We'll let you know what Emma's doing, and have folks visit us at AtlanticSharkInstitute.org. I think they'd like what they see.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, we're going to link up on the radio station website. John Dodd, Executive Director, Atlantic Shark Institute. Thank you.
Have a time.